Well, good morning, church, and welcome to West Winds Community Church Online. We're so glad that you joined us this morning. Near the end of the message today, we're going to be going to communion. So if you have any type of bread or wafers kicking around, maybe some crackers, get those ready, as well as some juice. And it doesn't have to be grape juice. It can be whatever it is, whatever you got around the house. But we'll go to communion at the very end of the message today, because we haven't done it in a while. And I wanted to share that with you, even if it's virtually. So let's prepare to do that at the end of the message. But today we're going to be looking in Psalm chapter 121, and this is one of my favorite chapters in the Psalms, and it also is a very good chorus that we sing. We've sang it before, where it talks about, "I lift my eyes up unto the mountains," and so we're going to read the scripture, and it's Psalm chapter 121. "I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he will watch over Israel with neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand, and the sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." You see, we can trust and have confidence in God on a daily basis because He is our source of safety in a world where we know there are many dangers that we're going to go through and many troubles and difficult situations that we may experience. You see, we can trust God, and He is able to help us through all of our struggles, both internally and externally. And I think sometimes we forget that He is able to help us in all of our trials and all the troubles that we go through. But there are times in our lives when we face uncertainty, when our future seems to be uncertain. And maybe many of you are feeling that right now, because we just don't quite know how long this is going to go on, how long this worldwide pandemic is, even though there is good news about vaccines. And I personally am excited about the chance of everyone getting the vaccine that wants one. But just the ability to make everyone safe and the possibility of getting that herd immunity that we've been looking for. But in life, things are uncertain, and we just never know our future, whether it's a pandemic today or something else tomorrow. But we have a hard time putting our faith and our trust in God. And so, in these uncertain times, when we don't know what direction to go, how are we going to put our faith in a God that sometimes we just don't seem to hear? You know, maybe you've lost your job during this pandemic. Maybe there's been other circumstances in your life. Maybe you are the sole provider for your family and you're the only one that everyone looks to. And maybe you lost your job as well, and there's all sorts of uncertainties around that. Maybe you've been to the doctor and the doctor has revealed some maybe not so good news while going through this. Maybe you've graduated from college. You have your degree or certificate or diploma, and you just don't know what the future holds. You don't quite know where you're going to be going with your life, especially right now where jobs are hard to get. You see, in times like these, life is uncertain, and we have to ask ourselves, how are we going to deal with those times that are uncertain? You know, in our scripture today, the author asks, "Where does my help come from?" Well, the good news is for us that there is an answer to that question. In case you didn't know it, we're not the first people to wrestle with uncertainty and an unknowing future, and we're certainly not going to be the last. And Psalms 121 is that quiet voice and a kind voice telling us that perhaps we have been going about our relationship with God and maybe our Christianity or our Christian life in the wrong way. And this scripture is going to show us how we're to refocus our lives on God. Now, We can start out as a strong Christian, and maybe you've heard that before, where life happens, we become a Christian, and our focus kind of gets taken off the Bible or our relationship with God as we move forward in our lives. Because what happens when we just continue with our everyday lives? Life happens, things happen, and we get distracted, and things maybe confuse us, or maybe we don't quite understand. Or maybe when we first went to church and became a Christian, we didn't have a proper discipleship program to learn how to be in the Word and continue to stay in that Word. Maybe you've experienced yourself, or you know of it, maybe someone else you know, that became a Christian, and they were all excited about this new Christian life. But then it slowly dissipated as time went on because the pressures of life got in the way. Maybe you even had a bad experience with a church. I don't know what your situation may be, but we know that in today's culture, especially in today's culture, that first impressions are huge, and you don't really get a lot of second chances. And a lot of times when people are hurt in the church or they try something and it just doesn't work out, they don't give it a second chance. Because you know what? Being a Christian is not easy. It's difficult. But in the end, the rewards are worth it all, having that relationship with God. You know, we see it in business relationships. We see it in personal relationships. And we also see it in the church where we just don't get those second chances. And that's sad and it's unfortunate. And if you're in that position today, I want to encourage you to stick it out, to bring someone alongside you, to walk with you as you continue your relationship with God, because it's not meant to be done alone. You see, we lose focus when life is going well, because when you lose focus, when life is going well and you lose focus, it's because, well, you don't really need any help. Everything seems to be going just fine, so why would you need to look out and get any assistance? But when trouble hits, we tend to wonder where God is, and we tend to wonder why he isn't speaking to us, and we have a difficult time with that because we've stopped communicating with God. We need to decide what it's going to be. We need to decide what our relationship with God is going to be like. Is it going to be a relationship that we're doing for the long haul, or is it something that we're just doing because we got nothing better to do? We need to get to the point in our lives where we see it through, when we're in it for the good times and we're in it with the bad times as well. But it's usually because we're the ones that lost the focus. That's why we can't hear God, and we discussed that last week. Think about a relationship that you have right now. If you only went to your friend when things were wrong, when things were bad, when everything was going horrible in your life, and never contacted them when the good things were happening in your life, or to even include them and share them with those good things in your life, you would start to think that that person is being used. We do this with God. We do it with God, and when things are good, God is good all the time. But when things are not so good, it's his fault. We tend to blame God. We use him we lose contact with him, and we can't recognize his voice anymore. We tend to lose that connection that we would normally have, and then wonder why we can't hear him or recognize his voice. And this is why Lent is such a great time. Lent is a time of reflection. It's a time of renewal. It's a time to set things right. Maybe you have been just letting other things get in the way of your relationship with God. This is a good time for you to reset and analyze everything and then start getting your relationship with him back on track. Eugene Peterson says that this chapter, chapter 121, is the good neighbor coming over and telling us what we're doing wrong. And, I don't know if you've ever had it where you've been working on something outside and a neighbor will come over and give you advice. I know that when I'm working on any type of engine or down in the States where my boat is, if I'm working on that, the neighbors will come out and they'll all help you and say, hey, maybe don't do it that way because of this and that. And then they come in and they help and they assist you and they give you good advice. Well, this is very similar. This Psalm 121 is that good neighbor coming over and saying, hey, you need a little bit of help. And so I don't know if you've ever had that in your life, but working on a project, but it can be of great assistance when we're trying to move forward with something. So in Psalm chapter 121, it shows us that we can trust God, and he is able to help us through difficult times by making him, firstly, our foundation. Verses 2 and 4 says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. Have you ever seen a house or a building that hasn't been put up properly, that the foundation is a little bit crooked or the framing wasn't done very well? The problem started at the foundation. If you are an inch out at the bottom of your foundation, by the time you build that up, it compounds. And each level you go, that one inch turns into a whole bunch more. And then all of a sudden, that foundation is not the problem. It's everything else above that that has become the problem. So a good foundation makes a big difference. If the creator of the universe is our foundation, if he is everything that we believe in, then we are in good hands. But what does it mean to have God as your foundation? We hear it a lot, and you'll hear it a lot in church. You'll hear it a lot when you're reading books. They'll talk about foundations and how you need to have those great foundations. But what is that? Well, really it means that we have God's scripture in our lives, and we have a relationship with him. His scripture, and that relationship is the bedrock or the core of the values and of our being. It means that the teaching of Jesus is what we center and base our everyday actions and our core values on. That's the simple explanation of that. And then there becomes disciplines of prayer and meditation and reading the Word and spending time with God. But how do we do all this? Well, we do it by learning the character of God and implementing and reflecting his character in everything we do. So everything we've talked about, everything that we've reflected on, we implement that into our daily lives. And that's the real key right there, the importance of the daily life implementation. Sounds pretty simple, right? Well, it's not. It's difficult, and we have to work at it daily. And there's many times we make mistakes, but we have to pick ourselves back up and try again, try again. And so it's not something that we is just going to come naturally. Some of the areas in our lives that we're going to be stretched in and that we're going to grow in are going to be difficult. But that's when God is going to walk with you. And when you're in his word and have been in his word, he sets that foundation right at the beginning so that as you build on top of that with your faith, it's built true and straight and you're on the right path. You know, it's a daily journey, and as we continue to grow in our faith and in the knowledge of God, we want to become more like Jesus. And how do we do that? We do by getting into his word, we get into it by prayer, and we get it by reflection. And so we can trust that God is able to help us through the difficult times by recognizing that he's our foundation, but also recognizing that he is our strength. Verses 5 and 6 say this, the Lord watches over you, the Lord is your shade at your right hand, the sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. God gives us the power we need to endure those difficult times as we serve him, as we resist temptation, and as we are under persecution. I know there are a lot of Christians right now that believe they are under persecution. Well, I just want to tell you this morning that this is not in our area right now, persecution. This is just adversity. This is just a difficult time. It's not persecution. Nobody is standing at your door saying you can't have a Bible. No one is saying you can't listen to a Christian radio station. No one is saying you can't read your Bible. No one has said that. That, if they did that, that's persecution. What is happening right now is everybody, and that includes everybody, not just Christians, is having a difficult time, and they're going through adversity. And so how we get through this is when we lean on Jesus and we recognize that, you know, in these difficult times, we're here to love on other people and care for other people and not worry so much about all this other stuff. But we're going through a difficult time. And you know what? It's okay to voice that it's difficult, that it's not easy. But in the end, when people look back, how will they view that you viewed and how were you during this time in this pandemic? Were you a voice of reason, or were you a voice of conspiracy and fear? So let's be careful how we communicate as we move forward out there. But God is our strength, and so we're not going through persecution quite yet. One day, maybe we will, but until that day comes, this is adversity. But God gives us the power, and how is this practical in our life? How does he give us the ability to have strength? Well, we're told to call on Jesus Christ. We're told to call out to him, and that he will hear us and give us strength and hope and grace that's sufficient enough to carry us through anything. And he will be our ever-present help when we're in need, and he can give us the peace that passes all understanding. That all sounds real nice, but what does it mean practically? What does it look like? Well, in general, he has given us the Holy Spirit. Now, if you don't know much about the Holy Spirit, that'll come down the road, but right now, he has given us the Holy Spirit to give us that strength and give us that power in order for us to get through. But how the Holy Spirit works in each person's life is different to each individual. Now, the Holy Spirit himself is part of the Godhead and is all powerful, but when the Holy Spirit is working in my life and in your life, things are different. He speaks to us all differently. God speaks to me the way I need to be spoken to, the way I will hear him through the Holy Spirit, and he will speak to you the way you need to hear it. And he will give you that strength and whatever that is. But sometimes it's just so loud out there. Sometimes our head is just full of other noises and responsibilities that we just can't seem to weed out God's voice. Well, that's why we spend more time in the Word with him. But the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you how he's going to speak to you. And what may work for you might necessarily not work for me. I might not hear it the same way or be able to hear it the same way. So God's voice, it speaks to everyone, but it speaks to everyone the way you need him to speak to you. And so it's just like in your personal relationships with other people. You have different needs from other people and different support from other people. And one friend may not be able to speak to you the way the other one speaks to you, or be able to intervene in your life, or be able to, you know, for you to be able to be supported by in different ways. Well, the Holy Spirit knows those ways. And that's the best part about the Holy Spirit, is the Holy Spirit can speak into your life on a daily basis the way you need to hear it. And you know, I believe that he is able to handle anything, because God has pretty big shoulders, and I'm pretty sure he can handle anything that we're going through in our lives. So call on him to be your strength today, not just in the tough times, but call him to be the strength in the good times. We don't just need strength when we're feeling down and when we're weak. We need it when we're doing well and we want to continue to do well. We need that strength to carry us on through. The third thing that God does for us to help us get through difficult times, for us to recognize, is that God is our security. So he's our foundation, he's our strength, and he's our security. And he's going to help us through those difficult times by us realizing that he is our security. Verses 7 and 8 say this: "The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." You know, in July 2019, there was a security guard down in Atlanta, and this picture went viral, where a security guard fell asleep at a medical facility after they had already had a whole bunch of security breaches and problems in the past. Someone took a picture of him sleeping on the job. I'm here to tell you this morning that God is not sleeping on the job. He doesn't need a wake-up call. He's always watching out for you. You never have to worry about God sleeping on the job. He's going to watch over you. Does that mean that bad things won't happen, or that we won't go through trials? No. You know what, as we said last week, things are going to happen and we're going to have to walk through those, but he's going to walk with you through those times and through anything that life throws at you. While we can't always trust in our fellow humans to keep us safe, we worship a God who can keep us safe, and he doesn't fall asleep on the job. In our lives, we can face troubles, and they can seem fairly overwhelming. And there's this old saying that says, sometimes we can't see the forest through the trees. And really that is meaning that we're so close or wrapped up in the details of what's going on of our situation that we can't see a solution or a way out properly. Well, that's exactly what it's like when we're going through difficult times. And in those times, we need to take a step back, get a better grasp on the situation, and lean on God to guide us through, because we're having such a hard time getting through that forest. And as we go through these difficult times, he's the one that can see the big picture. He's going to walk you through, and God's going to get you through it. And so as we continue our journey towards Good Friday and towards Easter, I want to ask you a couple questions today. I want to ask you, where does your help come from in times of need and in times of plenty? Where does your help come from? And who do you ultimately put your trust in? You see, these are good questions we have to ask ourselves, and it'll speak a lot about our worldview and how we view things just in general. But I want to encourage you to put your trust in him. And so as we move forward, as we continue to go towards Easter, think about ways where you can put your trust in him. Reflect and renew your relationship with him today. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for this day. And I just pray as we continue to walk through our journey towards Good Friday and Easter, that we will put our faith and our trust and our security in Jesus Christ. Help us to recognize what that looks like, and also help us to recognize your voice as we continue to this journey to become more like Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives, and thank you for what you are about to do, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to go to communion right now, so I'm going to give you just a few seconds to get that all together, and we'll do that. I'll share communion with you in a moment. Well, communion is a great time of reflection, and I know we haven't done it in a while, so I'm excited to share this with you. But as we analyze ourselves, as we think about our relationship with God, we're to look inward. We're to look inward at ourselves and to see areas of our lives that maybe we need to work on, that maybe God is speaking to us to change or to be better at. We also need to look outward at people. Have we wronged anyone? Have we hurt anyone? And we need to make those right. We need to go and do that. And that's why we analyze inwardly, and then we analyze it outwardly. And then thirdly, we need to look upward. We need to look to God and ask him to give us the strength that we talked about today in the message, and the security to move forward in our faith in Jesus Christ, to becoming more like Jesus. And so as I read the scripture today in Luke chapter 22, we are going to take communion together. He says this in verse 17. He says, after taking the cup, he gave thanks, and he said, take this, divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again till the fruit of the vine and kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and he gave thanks, and broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's partake of the body together. Remember, this is a symbol. It's a symbol of what Jesus Christ has done for us, how his body was broken and bruised on the cross to defeat death. Let's take together. And then in the same way, we continue reading verse 20. After the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Let's partake of the symbolic gesture of Jesus Christ, of his blood that has atoned us for all sin, meaning there's no more sacrifices anymore. We're forgiven because of the sacrifice that he made. And then because he rose from the dead, we are part of his family. Let's take together. Amen. 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 God, thank you for what you've done in our lives by sending Jesus Christ, your Son. Help us to recognize the importance of that sacrifice daily in our walk with you as we continue to read our scripture, as we continue to delve in our word and meditate on your word, and as we continue to be more like Jesus. I think of all the situations that we're in right now. I think of those that are lonely. I think of those that are struggling with health in this difficult time. I think of those that are scared. I lift them up to you, and I ask that your Holy Spirit would come in and comfort, that your Holy Spirit would continue to do the work that only the Holy Spirit can do, and help us as an extension of Jesus Christ, as an extension of the gospel, that we, when we're dealing with people, that we will come in and be that voice of love and compassion and grace. Thank you, Lord, that you died for us. But more importantly, thank you that you rose from the dead and defeated the grave. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you. Hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday. Stay safe out there.